What's up, y'all? I'm Alan Hain, the Lawn Care Nut, and this is episode 28 of Lawns Across America. So thanks for joining me today as we are now officially into the fall time. The first official day of fall was September 23rd. As I'm recording this today, it's September 26th, so we're well into it, and almost in October, which is a time we're going to look forward to Halloween lawn domination. Now, those of you that are viewing on YouTube, you'll notice a little bit of a difference here. I'm actually just recording this one. There is no video to go with it today. I've decided that for the rest of the year here, I'm just going to record the podcast. I'm not sure how many of you actually watch me on YouTube for an hour anyway. It's just me standing there in my office, and there's only so many times you can pinch and zoom in and try to look at all the books on my bookshelf and figure out what I got going on there. Besides that, I don't see any other reason why people will be watching. Of course, if you are on YouTube, please give me your feedback. I'm sure that some of you would prefer to watch, but either way, it just adds a whole nother level of editing to this process. And what I would rather do is put most of the time into the content itself and trying to explain it in a way that may help you to kind of shed light on some things that you're dealing with in your lawn, as well as other things in your life. As you guys know, I always try to overlap things. Originally, that's why I used to call this, when I first started this whole lawn care thing many, many years ago, it was called Life and Lawns. And that's what it was. And actually, you can go to my old blog. It's still alive today, lifeandlawns.com. I sold that to a marketing firm, and I think they have a lot of spam stuff on there now. And even the most recent articles, which are probably, 10 years old now, even the most recent articles were not written by me. But if you go back in the archives there and you look at some of the old original posts, it's WordPress. You could go back there, lifeandlawns.com, check that out. You'll be able to see some of the way that I used to kind of frame things. And that's what I do here in this podcast. So I'm hoping that most of you are picking up what I'm putting down there. But today I'm going to talk mostly to cool season folks today. And my warm season friends, I want to talk to you up front. We are starting to wind down. And the thing about it is it winds down quick. I was looking at my zoysia today. We're actually in the 80s here. Let me check my phone right now. Okay, Google, what is the temperature in Parrish, Florida? Yeah, see, 84 degrees, and it's almost noon here when I'm recording this. And so that's a good 10 degrees cooler, definitely 8 for us here on the coast, cooler than what we have been. And we've had that now for the last 8 days or so that I've been clocking. And with that, I've noticed that my zoysia and my St. Aug both have severely slowed down the growth. It's like the brakes were put on, even though both grass types thrive at 85. What's so funny about this is if you go back to the spring, now we don't really have a winter here, but we'll get into the 40s for a few days. You know, a couple years ago, we did get some bad freezes. We lost some palm trees and such. But for the most part, we're 40s in February, and it's only for a few days that it dips there. The majority of the winter for us is high 50s, low 60s as a low, and we'll even get up into the real nice high 60s, low 70s during the day. That's pretty much what it's like over here on the Gulf Coast and what you might consider Southwest Florida, kind of south of Tampa Bay. And so with that, coming out of those cool temperatures and coming into the summer, well, the late spring and the summer, boy, you'll see, you can notice a measurable difference in the St. Aug and the zoysia coming from 60s, 70s to 85. It just blows up. It's great. It's this awesome growth time in the lawn. It's anticipating what's to come, which are temperatures even in the high 80s and 90s and a lot of rain, which is what we get here in Florida over all by the summertime over by there. It just rains every day, like 2-3 o'clock, boom, thunderstorm, right? And you guys know that if you vacation down here in the summer, which, by the way, they consider the off season, but the summer is the most beautiful time to be here. I know that there's humidity and such, but when you're on here on the Gulf Coast and you're literally going out into the beach and it feels like bath water, and when I say bath water, I mean like warm bath water. That's a pretty interesting experience, and it's a great time of year to be here because the prices are a lot cheaper. But that's also when you do get those afternoon rains, which have a lot of lightning in them, because lightning brings natural nitrogen, which pushes our grass. And so the lawn is in anticipation of that in late spring and when you hit in those 80s, and it's really growing fast. Now, it's funny, and this is where I'm really coming around the horn here. Now we're on the backside of that, and it has the opposite effect because the lawn's been rain drunk because we had a lot of rain this year. Now, we've been cut off for the same 8 days when it's been cool. These pressure systems, it keeps blowing the big old clouds. I don't know what they call them, cumulonimbus clouds over by there. The big fat ones, man, the thunder boomers, you can just tell when they're about to just drop, like they're going to pop like a tomato. You can just see it. Those are not, they're not as dark now. They're not as billowy. They're not as fat. They're not as thick. And the air's not as thick either, and that's keeping, pushing those clouds further away, and we're not getting any rain, and it's dry. And basically what's happened is the grass has this natural response where it's like, all right, I'm going to chill. And I'm seeing that with my zoysia because I'm trying to start taking it lower and over time here, but it's taking longer for the scalping to clear out because it's not growing. So I'm not getting any help from the grass, in other words, while I'm trying to make a change in height, and I'm going from height of cut on my zoysia where I let it get overgrown while I was in Utah over by there for, it was 8 inches. I've got it on camera. I've got it on film. I sound so weird, right? The way I document stuff, but 8 inches tall. And I'm down at 3 1/4 now, and I just expected it to have grown out, and it hasn't yet. Now, I might be impatient, and that's part of what we're going to talk about a lot today as we get into the cool season stuff, but I wanted to just address this with my warm season friends. Changes in your lawn that, you know, if you had a tough period, especially with St. Augustine grass, you know, in the summer you get a tough period where we did have some days where it stayed a lot of rain and overcast and still humid and no sun to dry things out, and we got leaf spot. And man, there'd be days when my St. Aug would just be looking bad, but because it was in this growth cycle, because it was pushed, because it had all of the everything it needed going for it from sunlight and everything, when it did dry up, bam, it would just grow right through it. And it was good. And so I was used to like, okay, I'm going to have a couple bad days here. I'm going to make it through. We're going to push through and it'll be fine, right? That's what I got used to. And now here we are in fall and I don't have that because the growth has slowed way down. Now, the other thing that's happened here is I'm still in my seasonal blackout period. So we have blackouts here, for those of you who are not from here, because we are a land of rivers, which all flow, and rivers and lakes, which all lead into the Gulf or the Atlantic, we have challenges, you know, with things like red tide, and there's a lot of stuff that goes around that that I don't really get into too much, but there is legislation here now where you can't throw down nitrogen or phosphorus fertilizers in the summer at all, like liquid, granular, nothing. You just can't use them. It's a total blackout. And I'm fine with that. We just have to come up with other strategies. We use use a lot of micronutrients to keep the lawn looking good, and it does. It looks green, dark green, really, because it gets a lot of iron. And, you know, I started using the humic acid products from John Perry, Humic 12, Aerate, all these things. And those really helped me keep the lawn managed. So I'm good there, and I feel like it looks good. I also added a little potash early in this year, which was something I hadn't tried before. Because what happens is, especially with St. Augustine grass, it gets... It gets crunchier without the nitrogen. And I don't know if that's because nitrogen has something to do with keeping the grass malleable. I know it has a lot of properties inside the plant that have to do with photosynthesis. And so either way, I can just tell the grass just isn't as pleasant. Now, St. Augustine grass isn't the most pleasant grass to walk on barefoot anyway. In fact, I don't know anyone that actually does walk on their St. Augustine grass barefoot, unless you have to, because you got to run out to get something off the lawn. Maybe you got to run out to get the paper. You got to move the flamingos around. You know, you don't feel like putting your flaps on. So you'll run out. And I'll tell you what, the minute you walk in your St. Augustine barefoot, you wish you hadn't. So speaking of that, I got no-see-ums coming out now with the weather change. I think insects kind of take a little bit of a change. Some insects come back that maybe you weren't aware of. So it's time to do perimeter pest control again. But man, I'm really rambling on a lot of things here. Oh, the blackout. So I've been in this blackout, so I can't push the lawn to grow. So normally what I would do right now with not getting rain help is I've got to up my watering big time, which I'm working on. And gosh, got a funny story there about this sprinkler head doohickey we found. A subscriber emailed me. He's like, Al, you got to check out this thing this dude invented. He lives over in Venice, and it hooks on your weed whacker, and it's like the exact same... what is the word? Diameter? Diameter, distance around. Yeah, diameter. Circumference. See? Diameter's across, circumference's around. So long and the short of it is it's 7 inches, which is the same circumference as the lawn donut. So down here in Florida, we have donuts in our lawn, cement donuts, concrete donuts, not cement. And they go around your heads. And what'll happen is over the summer, you get lazy because you're not using your irrigation because of all the rain, so the stolons are just going nuts from your St. Aug, and they'll just overtake your sprinkler head. Same with the zoysia. Oh my gosh, zoysia is like a choker. It will choke out a lot of stuff. It's hardcore because it has stolons and rhizomes, and it'll take over your sprinkler heads or right around the donut. So there's this dude in Venice that invented this thing, TAS Industries. And a subscriber sent me an email and turned me on to this dude. So I'm like, all right, that's kind of cool, but I'm not sure about it. So then the other day, I'm over at my dealer, over by my dealer in Bradenton, seeing my dealer. And I was picking up a new saw. I got a new Echo chainsaw, the little micro chainsaws. because I'm going to do some stuff with my Robolini palms. Boy, I really am hitting the warm season, folks, here. That's good. You guys deserve a lot of love here. On the ramblings type of podcast, I think what you're realizing is when I'm not on video, I might ramble a little bit more. So I'll have to get you guys' feedback on what you think about this style of podcast, because this is a little easier for me to do, and I kind of like to ramble a little bit, as you guys can tell. So I'm over at the dealer picking up that saw, and I also got some parts from my Time Master. I got to do just some, you know, winter maintenance on it, stuff like that. And while I'm there, I look up, and lo and behold, there's these 7-inch attachments for the sprinklers that this dude had emailed me about like 2 days before. And I'm like, oh, man, because he was kind of talking about how he couldn't really find them anywhere. Even some of the dealer locator on the website wasn't working or functioning right. You know, so it just didn't seem, it seemed like maybe TAS was out of business, which, Ted, if you're listening, buddy, that's, you know, we got to work on your web presence, my friend. But it, you know, so I ended up seeing these on the wall at the dealer. I was like, holy cow, what a coincidence. So I start talking to my dealer about it, and he tells me about it. And there's a little bit of modification I have to do to my Echo PAS-225. That's the split boom unit I use for my weed whacker and also for my edger overbiter. You can tell I'm an Echo guy. Always have been. They don't sponsor me or anything like that. I did something with them a few years ago. It was fun, but I got the idea that they didn't like me calling their saw a homeowner saw. They kind of... I did the review of their... Bushmaster, is that what it is? I don't know what it is. It's the ranch level chainsaw. I did a freaking good review too of that over in St. Pete, but what did I call it? Prosumer, maybe I called it. I don't know. I made some comment about it that I don't think they appreciated. They didn't say that to me, but maybe I'm just making that up as I sit here rambling, drinking coffee in the afternoon. But anyway, I like Echo, and so I have a PAS-225. So the dealer was helping me figure out how to put this TAS Industries thing, this Spinema thingy that goes on your weed whacker and fits right over the donut. So I'm doing a terrible job at explaining it, but that's okay. It's going to be fun. I actually talked to the owner. I called him. I really like when I find something that's obscure. Now, he doesn't think it's as obscure. And in fact, he has some other really cool inventions that I guess are really big overseas, like this strap thing that goes around. I'm doing him terrible justice here. It's a strap thing that you put around your body, and it has a pole on top of it that has a pulley system that'll help hold up your hedge trimmer. One of the challenges people have with hedge trimming, especially now every hedge trimmer has a pole on it. Nobody buys a standard, 36-inch bar hedge trimmer. They always got to have like a 3-foot extension on it. Everybody's got to have the extension on their trimmer these days, overbiter. And so he has this pole thingy that holds it up so it doesn't break your back and cause workers' comp issues. I don't know. I love talking to inventors and entrepreneurs. And so the long and the short of it is my dealer's going to had to order in some parts. We're going to modify my PAS-225 to be able to hold this thing on so I can get my sprinklers out. And so that comes back around to where we Floridians, especially you South Texans, you're in this too, probably Southern California. No, it doesn't rain in Southern California, but South Texas, Gulf Coast, Texas, all you guys around there, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama. I got to say Gulf Shores. I got to say all these names because whenever I forget to name a state, somebody calls me out. Hey, man, how come you didn't mention Mississippi, man? You don't like Ole Miss or what? You know? But we get lazy in the summer because we have these Gulf rains that come through and our lawns are just going nuts and they literally bury our sprinklers so they're out of sight, out of mind. Well, now we're in this dried off period and what I'm noticing with all the lawns around my neighborhood is I ride my bike doing my afternoon intel. You got to do intel on your neighbors and what their lawn's like. Everybody's starting to dry out. So I made sure that I got on the old ratio and dialed up the watering and because I need to back it down slow. You're going to hear me talk to that with the cool season folks a little later too about backing the watering down slow like boiling a frog. It's like the opposite concept. I'm pretty proud of that analogy, so you'll have to hang in here to the podcast to hear that. But what I've had to do is really take that watering up to try to mimic what the rain was and then I'll back it down slow. Rather than what we've had, if you're just letting Mother Nature do it, is we had a lot of rain, and now for 8 days, cooler temps, which trigger the lawn to slow its growth, and then not any rain, man, it's just going to check out. It's like it's been rain drunk. So I've made sure to stay on top of that. Got to get those heads unburied, so there's going to be videos coming up on all that. But all of that to say to bring back around, that's why my lawn isn't responding like I want it to. And I want all of you to know that's something that we're kind of into. Oh, another thing to say is I learned this from Jonathan at the Sod Farm. when I was out there at Bethel Farms, he was talking about St. Augustine grass going to seed. Now, there is no viable seed that you can buy for St. Augustine grass that you can throw out like other grass types. It has to be propagated vegetatively. That's why you can use plugs, and that's what you should be using if you want to fill in thin spots. But what he told me is that it'll still go to seed. It's kind of sad, but it still goes to seed. Even though the seed is not viable, it still sends up seed. Isn't that terrible? It just sends up these sterile seeds. It doesn't even know. Like, I feel terrible for St. Augustine grass that it triggers to throw up seed heads, not knowing that they're not viable. It doesn't know. It still does it. I feel bad for it. Like, I feel terrible. Does it really realize that its babies' grasses or can't grow? But what it does, it'll do that because it's a stress response. So what'll happen is, you know, you go from all this rain and then you get cooler temps, literally 10 degrees cooler than they have been, no rain, you switch to your irrigation. Now, here's the deal. The rain that comes out of the sky is much more nourishing. We've talked about lightning and that. But even the pH of the rain coming down is going to be different than whatever comes out of your city water, or if you're on a well, that might be different. So, you know, that can trigger a stress response. So you'll see your St. Augustine grass going to seed this time of year. And so that's another thing that's a negative against it, because when it goes to seed, it's putting all of its energy into the seed production that can't help it. That's why I just have to feel so bad for it. And what I really need it to be doing is growing, you know, and still responding like I want, because I still want to push it for Halloween domination coming up. So coming out of my blackout period here in about another 5 days, 30 days, half September, April, June, and November. Yeah, 30. So this is the 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th. So 5 more days I can fur. What day is that? I should be counting that down. Let's look that up. What day is October 1st? I should just ask. Okay, Google, what date does October 1st fall on this year?
Here is information from 2019 calendar.
What a stupid question to ask Google. It's a Tuesday. Where am I going to be at next week? Tuesday. I'm going to be here. I guess I'm going to be throwing down. And so I'm going to throw down some Carbon X. I'm going to go at a 3/4 pound rate. Now, I'm not going to do the same exact fertilizer across the entire lawn. Actually, with the Zoysia and me trying to get that down to a level set, down from the 8 inches it was at, I want to get it down to 2. I'm going to take it along slow and spoon feed it. So I might use the green punch and go with the liquids over there and really spoon it hard. That way, I think that'd be kind of fun. I have some 818 X Green. I might put that on the palmetto. And I'm sticking with liquids in the backyard over by there for the Pro Vista back over by there, because I got the lake back there. So I really like to have total control. And so that's why I do liquids back there. All right, with that introductory ramble, wow, that was good. Don't forget, I want to say something. You guys, go over to Ben Sims. Do you know Ben Sims, Lawn Tips? He's in Australia, over down by Australia down there. For some reason, I wanted to put a Chicago accent on that one right there. It didn't work too well. Now, I used to do a much better Aussie accent than I do now. I haven't been practicing as much as I should. And I do the Chicago one too much, and it messes me up. Now, I think might be going into some sort of British Cockney accent at this point. Anyway, I won't ruin you with those accents too much, but my buddy Ben is coming up for GIE this year. Ben, the lawn guardian, he actually coordinated this whole thing, went out and got sponsorship, everything for us to bring Ben here. He's going to come hang out with me before GIE. I'm going to show him a good time down here in Florida. Then we're going to head up to the GIE. He's going to be there. He's going to kind of tour around. He's going to go head out with Ryan Knorr, do some stuff with him. Then he's going to go to Connor's place and have some fun with Connor and then head home. So kind of like a cool trip. I mean, it's really cool that we as YouTubers can do this kind of thing. By the way, if you guys haven't seen, go check out his video where he kind of announces it. Ben from Lawn Tips. So go check him out. And then also make sure you check out our trip from Utah that we had. I haven't been on the podcast here since I've been back from Utah. What a great time I had going out there. Again, hanging out with my YouTube friends. And I actually saw comments someone put, oh man, you guys, now all you're doing is hanging out and having fun together. All we want is the tips. Like somebody on a comment, whose video was that? May have been on Ben's. It was like, okay, enough of this already. You guys, all you YouTuber guys hanging out and being friends and having a good time. Stop with that. How dare you guys have fun? I think that was a comment on Ben's video. So fun stuff and pretty crazy. What an awesome community we've built. So I'll tell you, I am liking this podcast the way I'm rambling like this without having to put up appearances in front of a camera. All right, let's move over then and let's go ahead and talk to you guys about seeding, because here's the biggest thing I'm seeing right now coming across you know, the interwebs, is people have done their aeration and their overseeding, and they're a couple, 2-3 weeks past it. So that's who I'm going to talk to today, and I'm going to answer some of the most frequent questions I'm getting for those of you guys that are a couple, 2-3 weeks past your seeding. And so that means that possibly you saw, now germination doesn't, you don't see that. That's what happens at the very beginning. You'll see the sprouts, seedlings grow. So when you start to see the grass, it has already germinated, you know, several hours to a day or two, depending how deep down it was before that. But let's just say you're somewhere around, you know, day 21-ish. That's what we're going to say that you're at. So you kind of, you know, flex your time frame to match this, but you're somewhere around that day 21-ish. Here are some of the questions that a lot of you guys are asking. Now, the other thing is, keep in mind, I talk to most of you all that I figure will follow the advice that I like to give, which is, hey, don't burn your lawn down and start over. Most of you have done aeration, poke holes, heavy overseed, 7 pounds per thousand max overseed. And then you've done a pretty heavy boost of some sort of fertilizer from the beginning. Usually it's like a Milo and a triple 10 that you get from Walmart. That's kind of the startup way to go. Then you have the fashionable cool kids way, which is to get the X Start. You know, you've done something like that. You've thrown something down. You can also use the seed starter pack from Green County Fertilizer we have. They got that new green pop, which I've got some stuff we're going to be doing with that. Little hint here, I've got a little seeding project coming up over the winter because it's Florida here. I can do a lot of things differently than a lot, you know, that when you guys are sleeping, you know, up north, that hopefully I'll keep, be able to give you some fun content even if it doesn't work out. So I'm going to be using some green pop, also on some sod, some Tif Tuff sod that we did over at my buddy Chris's house. But a lot of you that seeded might be using the green pop, the green start, the RGS. By the way, RGS, just hammer in. So whatever it is, you did your seed and then you got that little fertilizer plan going on, whatever you got. Even if you're not doing any fertilizing, let's go into a few things and talk about where you should be. So the first question or the first thing that I've seen a lot is people want to know about watering that seed. So let's go back to when you first started. And what I've seen a lot of advice of is right after someone aerates and overseeds, I will see advice of, hey, don't water too much. You don't want to create fungus in there, or you don't want to do that. There's some sort of thing now where people are backing down and saying, don't water too much. Here's the thing though. And I get it. You don't want to water too much. Okay. I understand. You don't want to cause puddling. You don't want to cause runoff. You don't want that. But what I know from working with homeowners and DIYers for so many years here online, and also when I worked at ChemLawn for 15 years, talking to a lot of homeowners and folks that had seedings done or that they did themselves, most people don't water enough. They just don't. So I usually go from that more conservative view where I say, I want you to water a lot, water heavy, water it, water, right? I push people to push hard because I know where they kind of start from as a whole. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't going to be people that are overwatered. There are. I used to see people in Chicago that would literally leave their sprinkler on all day, every single day, all day in their front yard. In Chicago, and I don't know if it's this way anymore, but in the city of Chicago proper, water was free. I'm using air quotes here, but there's something to do with, I'm sure they pay it in another way, right, in some other tax. But it's Lake Michigan water, which is the best water in the world. If you ever want to know why all the craft beers up around Lake Michigan are all so legendary and good, especially I'm talking like Three Floyds and that, it's because they have Lake Michigan water. It's the best water that there is. And that's also why the pizza is so good in Chicago, is because of the dough. And I can tell you that the reason the dough is so perfect is because of that good Lake Michigan water. That's why Chicago is known for its pizza. So just take that as it may. The water means everything. So people in Chicago would water for hours, right? So I know there's extremes on every end of the spectrum, but there are people as a majority, when you tell them to water a lot, they won't hit the mark, okay? So that's where I say, I got to understand where I'm coming from, and it's always to tell people to water a lot. Now, what happens though is, and by the way, I've also tried to change up some of my language recently. Instead of saying water a lot, I will try to say this, because you don't know. You just don't know how much water someone's going to need. You don't know what kind of sprinkler system they have. Are they moving sprinklers around? What's the coverage of the sprinkler? How long does it take? Is it in a full circle? Is it in half? You just don't know, right? So to tell somebody water 10 minutes, you know, 10 minutes at a time for 3 times a day, that doesn't mean anything. 10 minutes at a time in a rotary sprinkler that's got to go full circle, you'll get nothing measurable, right? So it's tough. So what I've tried to tell people is, water your lawn so that it's wet, and then go stick your finger down in the grass. This is when you first, you know, seed. Stick your finger down in the dirt, and it should feel wet at the first top half inch. Just scratch through. If you don't feel the water in there, then you know you didn't water enough. Just take it up. So you want to keep the top half inch of soil constantly wet all the time for the first, you know, 14 to 21 days, couple 2-3 weeks. Now, once you get past that, you're going to see that your grass started growing around day 5 to day 10, sometime in there. And we're going to talk about areas that don't grow versus areas that do grow. But for right now, just think about that. When you get to that couple 2-3 weeks, you got to change your watering habits now, because you have a little bit different thing going on. And the strategy of the grass now isn't to germinate. The strategy of the grass is to put down a root and throw up a blade so photosynthesis can start to occur, and it can start to kind of make its own food and start to live on its own and not have to rely on the nutrient and everything that's been in that grass seed, right? This is also why we put the starter fert and everything there, so it's in the soil ahead of time and sitting there and waiting. And, you know, so that's kind of how that works along. But you want to change your watering strategy now. So think about it. If the grass plant is needing to put down a root, you want to use water to help it. Water is a great traveler. Think about the Grand Canyon was created by water. Water erodes everything. It'll do all kinds. You've seen it. If you're lucky enough to get a heavy rain, you see what water will do to erode the dirt away, right? Well, now that you're putting some roots in there, let's put the water in deeper. Now, don't saturate it. Don't have anything running off. But let's water longer so the water will dive down deeper. That's why the soil's been loosened anyway from aeration or whatever else you're doing, adding in carbon. So get that water to go deeper and allow those roots to chase it down. So at that point then, that's when the tuna can challenge comes in. Because what I can't do is understand everybody that's listening to this podcast. I can't understand your specific site, how much sun you have versus shade, you know, what your soil composition is, again, your watering setup, how much water it gets down. I can't, what the cloud cover has been in your place, because all of these things will affect the way the watering works. So I can't do that. But what I can do is talk to you in terms of the tuna can challenge, which is to put that tuna can out there in each zone that you have to move to and understand how long it takes to get a half inch of water down. Because that's what I would say that you should do around that 2-3 week mark, is change your watering to less frequent and deep. So there isn't a perfect formula to that, but if you've been watering, say, 3 times a day to get the top half inch down, then maybe what you're going to do is you're going to back down now and do a half inch each time and water in the morning and the afternoon only. Back it down slow. But always use that finger test. You should start feeling that water, or that depth of that water down in those areas. You should start feeling that down deeper now, a couple 2 inches down. You know, get that water deeper. That's the idea, is to cut it back, the frequency, but make sure that you're going deep to help encourage that rooting. And by the way, a half inch of water may not be enough. You may need to put down even more because of your soil type, or because of the amount of sun you're getting, or no rain help. So you'll have to kind of adjust this, and you'll have to feel your way through it literally by sticking your finger into the lawn and just feeling after a watering, am I getting this watering deep? I think of it this way. People talk about, well, how do I transition that? How do I know how to do that transition by backing it down? So think of it this way. I love this analogy of, how do you boil a frog, right? And this is, I'm gonna get you to reverse engineer this in your mind. So how do you boil a frog? Well, you've heard the analogy that if the water's already boiling and you throw a frog in it, the frog feels that boiling water. And as soon as he gets in that water, bam, he flings himself out and it doesn't boil him. He gets out of it because he just feels it immediately, bam, and he's out. So the way you boil a frog though, is you put him in lukewarm water, and then you put it on a burner and you bring the heat up slowly. And because those temperature adjustments are so slow, he doesn't feel it. He just gets used to it. He just adapts to it until all of a sudden he's boiling and now it's too late. So let's reverse engineer that to the grass. You've had the grass at this rolling boil where it's just wet, 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 bam, 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 water, 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 right? Just keep that top inch wet, keep that top half inch wet, right? Bam, bam, bam. Well, now what you need to do is reverse engineer that and back it off the same way of that frog got boiled, but the other way around. Back it off slow so the lawn doesn't realize you're backing it off. In other words, it doesn't realize, hey, I was getting watered all the time. No, no, no. Now you know what I got to do? I just got to adapt, because the water's deeper now and not as frequent. So I'm going to adapt and the roots are going to chase that down. So just do it the opposite of boiling that frog. Take it off slowly over time, step by step. So the idea being that what you're not going to do is just take the lawn off the watering completely all in one day, because then we'll get a hot day and it'll boil the lawn right out, right? You don't want to do that. You want to do the exact opposite. You want to back it down nice and slow over time. And while you're backing it down, water deeper so that it has to adapt and move the roots deeper along with the watering that you're giving it. Okay, now the next question I get is about, what about weeds coming into my grow? And you know what? That's going to happen. Now, I know there's a lot of folks out there that you like to use Mesotrione or Tenacity when you do your overseeding, and I think that's great if you do that. It works well, and I do think it's a smart strategy. It's just not one that I typically talk about because it adds another level of difficulty, and most of the folks I work with, I really want them to focus on growing the grass and really work on pushing that and understanding that grass and how it's growing and moving and concentrate on that, and I don't want to add another level of difficulty into the mix. But perhaps next year, we'll go ahead and do another project lawn, and we'll do something with Tenacity and Mesotrione, as well as work on some other projects with some other grass types and grass seeds like that. So we will be doing that. But for the most part, folks are not doing anything for weeds and haven't done anything for weeds, but some weeds will come into the grow. So I will tell you that for the majority of you, I will say not to worry about blanket spraying for weeds because the winter is going to be here in just a few weeks, and it's going to go ahead and slow those weeds down in the winter in general, especially if you live somewhere where it freezes over the winter. It's going to kill the majority of those weeds for you. So save the chemical. Also, as outside temperatures come down, weed controls have to get into that grass plant. They have to get into that weed, and they have to move through that weed. They have to translocate through that weed. Well, the weed has to be actively growing for that to happen, and if your nighttime temperature are getting below, 60 degrees, the weed is really slowing itself down. It's probably trying to, if it's like a dandelion or whatever, it's trying to just, get its taproot all fattened up for the winter because dandelions, they kind of leave that taproot down underneath the ground down there. They'll fill that taproot full of all kind of nutrients. So they're trying to slow down their growth. So, spraying them, you're not going to kill them anyway, right? So I would just let stuff go. Now, I do realize, though, that a lot of you guys are going to lose sleep over the weeds. So there's that human side of it that I understand because, man, sometimes you see your babies getting attacked. And if you got to spray, if you just feel like you do, get some of that ready to spray stuff. It's the, Roundup for Lawns is sold, I think, under the new brand these days, maybe BioAdvanced. But get the ready to spray. Spectracide probably has one. It's just pre-mixed in a gallon. Go out and do that. You can, because you could really target that, right? You can, push it in the little weeds if you want to do that. I mean, I get it. If that's gonna, help you sleep at night, because I've been there. So I don't want you to think I'm unsympathetic to that. Now, one thing I'll get this time of year often, or people will send emails in and they'll say, my creeping Charlie and Violet problem is really getting bad this fall. And I overseeded, and my grass is a couple, two, 3 weeks in now. But man, the creeping Charlie and the violets are really taking over. And this is where I kind of talk about, yes, this is a tough one because the best time to kill creeping Charlie and violets is in the fall time. It is literally the number. You could do some damage to it in the spring, but it's going to rage back because of the rains. But in the fall, as things are drying out, that's the best time to whack it. And triclopyr is what you want. Maybe a little 2,4-D overbiter, but triclopyr is really what you want. In a lot of cases, it might take a couple applications, but you could really get a hold of violets and creeping Charlie in the fall right now. But you can't do that. You can't use those heavy herbicides on new grass. You're not going to have enough time. I mean, I think the labels will probably tell you can spray after two mowings, but I wouldn't do it. I would, especially in a blanket situation. This is where I say you got to look at it kind of like a football team where you got an offensive and a defensive side, and let's say that your team is terrible and they have bad offense and bad defense, and so you've been employed to grow this team and to change it around. Well, you don't have enough money in the budget to get a good solid offense and a good solid defense all in the same year. So maybe what you do is you build your offense first, because you're gonna get a point scoring machine now. For sure, if you don't have a good defense, you may not win many games because you're going to get scored upon. But, there's some qualities to going after that first, going on the offensive first, in that, a game is very exciting to watch if it's like a big and tall man's pant size, like 42 to 36. That is a very interesting game. That's a fun game, 42 to 36, right? So maybe your team isn't winning. Maybe you're getting beat because you have no defense. But you're scoring a lot of points and people are liking you. And that's how you push your grass now. You don't play defense, play offense. Go score a lot of points. Sure, maybe the Creeping Charlie is going to score some points on you. It is. The Violets, they're going to score some points on you too. But you're scoring points and a lot of them. and you're really going hard and you're thickening up that grass and you're paying attention to one thing and it's that grass. Push it. Just get on offense. Now, next year, next season, that's when you build your defense, and you don't have to aerate and overseed next year because you already, you know, built your offense. You're already thick. You've already been working on it. By the way, your offense gets a lot better in the following spring and through the following summer, especially if you start using pre-emergence and you keep crabgrass out and things like that in the late spring. That'll help your offense to do better. That's adding some defense in there. But then you really go on the defensive and the offensive again in the fall with that triclopyr. So the second year is when you'd go after that creeping Charlie and Violet. So look at it like that. Look at it like you're building a sports team where you build the offense now and build the defense later. That way you can really focus on things, getting it right before you move on to something else. And that's where I kind of talk about how I don't always want to overcomplicate things. Okay, now the next piece that I always get is, what about fertilizing? When can I start fertilizing? So there's a couple different strategies that I've talked about here, and we'll kind of go through them. Now, for those of you that use the regular strategy that I talk about, which is at the time you do your aeration and overseeding, you're throwing down, you know, Milo at like, I don't know what, like 3/4 pounds, and then maybe you got some sort of starter fertilizer, triple 10, that you're throwing down at another 3/4 pounds, so you're going like a full pound and a half of N and all that, right? You don't need anything else for at least 35 to 40 days. You don't need anything else. Just let it ride, man. Just, we'll talk about biostimulants because those are always fine, but you don't need any more fert. Once you get to that 35, 40 day mark, go ahead, man, pick what you want. Throw down some Carbon-X 3/4 pound, Milorganite 3/4 pound, you know, whatever. Now, I say 3/4 pound, talk about nitrogen per thousand. I always talk about that. Cool season lawn, fine to keep pushing. You guys can push in the fall. In fact, the more nitrogen you push in the fall, the better, because then the less you'll have to push next spring, especially if you're somebody that dealt with any kind of, you know, brown patch disease or any really, so I don't know if dollar spot overwinters, but definitely Fusarium blight and what else is out there? Rhizoctonia. I'm trying to talk like I know what the heck I'm talking about. I just like saying those big words, overbiter. But with those will overwinter, so you'll want to go low nitrogen next spring. So that's why you should load up here in the fall and, you know, and then push it. Now, for those of you that used X-Start, we got a quick little easy plan with that. You do 3 pounds per thousand on the X-Start at the time of seeding, and then a couple, 2-3 weeks later, so right about now, day, you know, 15 to 21, do your second app, 3 pounds per thousand. If you don't want to walk on it, or you don't want to, you know, take your big fat spreader wheels out on it, get a little whirly gigger spreader and put that out there. Those are fine. What are they, whirly gigs or whatever they call them? Put one of the, get one of those out there. You're not looking to be perfect here. You're just looking to get the app out there as good as you can. But you would do yours a couple, 2-3 weeks later as well. And then you guys won't have to do anything, you know, give that another, you know, 3 weeks, and then you can start up. So let me just go back to that. X start at the time of seeding, about 15 to 21 days later is your round two, and then your round three would be about 2 to 3 weeks after that. So, you know, week 5, 6, that's when you could fert, so about the same time, and you could pick up with whatever you want there as well. Those of you on the seed starter pack from Green County Fertilizer, you've got instructions. If you need those, email shop@thelawncarenut.com. We'll send them to you. But you've got the green punch in there, the 1801. So that's what you pick up, you know, after day 35 or so. Beautiful. I love that stuff, man. You can put that in. It's like 16 ounces per thousand. I think it gives you barely a 1/4 pound of N. So it's super lightweight. But man, it's got the kelp in there. Micronutrients, got some potash, which is good for your turgor pressure. We definitely want that turgor pressure. We want a turgid lawn, and that comes from potash. That's another new thing I've been trying to learn, is a little bit more scientific stuff, just so I can throw it out so it sounds like I know what I'm talking about. So that's kind of how your fertilizing works. You know, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to baby it, you know, but go ahead and start pushing it, you know, once it gets out there past day 35, 40, you know, all into that, you know, you can do it. Now, as far as biostimulants go, RGS, Humic 12, OO2 microgreen for sure, aerate, those can go down to like 3 ounces per thousand every couple of weeks from beginning to end, anytime you want, man. Some of you guys like to spray a lot. I do too. Recently, I've been out wanting to spray almost every day. I even got this drip feeder thing, easy flow thing I got hooked up on one side of my house, and I pour RGS in it, and I water like my palms and plants with it like every day. I'm going to see what it does. I know that feeling, right? And so it's like a hose of brown liquid that I just spray on everything on the one half of my house. And I have some zinnias I'm going to start growing. That's why I'm messing with this easy flow. I'm going to try some zinnias over the summer here, over the winter. and see how those do. I got that from Jeremy of the Greener Lawn. He's my friend, and when I saw him in Utah, he showed me his zinnias, and I was like, these are great, man. I'm going to grow some of these, so I'm going to see what they do like down here in Florida. So I understand you want to throw down every day, all day, so that's fine, man. You know, low rates, low doses. Microgreen especially, 3 ounces per thousand every 7, 10, 12, 14 days, really good for any grass at all. All of those have the humic acid in them. Humic 12, aerate. Some people think aerate's going to dry out your seed. I have no idea where that rumor came from. I've seen that in the Facebook group, but no, aerate's not going to dry your seed out. So go ahead and spray that down too. Just keep everything nice and light. You know, you got enough stuff in there already, so no need to go too crazy with it, but I do get it. Now, don't forget, Halloween Lawn Domination is coming up, so save some of your microgreen for that. Once we get out of my blackout here in a few days, I will start those series of videos for our Halloween Lawn Domination so we get things going. Now, the next thing question that I get is about mowing, and I did a full video on that already. So if you go to Lawns Across America podcast, or I'll link in the description below here if you are on YouTube, you can go and get that video. It's like a 10-minute segment that I put out just on mowing, and I gave you some cool analogies and kind of try to set your mind at ease there. But in short, if you got to mow, you got to mow. Go out and mow. I mean, that's just how it goes, bro. So just go out and do it. I mean, it's not going to hurt anything. Just get off. Don't have a dance party on your lawn, but feel free to get out there and mow. Just be quick about it. It's okay to do it. If you're noticing clumping, well, then you should catch. If you don't see clumping, though, then go ahead and mulch. Just use your common sense on those kind of things and get out there and get on and then get off real quick and you'll be fine. Now, another thing that'll come up is about reseeding. So a couple, 2-3 weeks after, people are looking at the lawn, they're like, well, certain areas are growing and other areas are not growing. Should I reseed? And I know that's tempting. Like you want to, again, you feel like, all right, okay, I'm going to put some more seed down because it failed. I promise you, don't do that. I want you to look at grass seed like your kids. You know, if you have more than one kid, what you'll notice is they all develop a little bit differently. You know, maybe one is talking at an earlier age. The older one was talking earlier and the younger one didn't talk so soon. Or one walks faster than the other or sooner than the other. Maybe potty training is early, better, easier with one than the other. Maybe one is reading sooner than another. Maybe one is in advanced classes in middle school, whereas one is not. Maybe one is better at soccer, whereas one has no foot-eye coordination, but is really good at tennis because it's hand-eye coordination. I don't know. You know, maybe one of your kids can run really fast and the other one is super strong. And you can even tell with your kids by the way they're built, you know, by the way they use their skills as they get older, just the way they develop, you can tell how they're going to be and where their strengths will be and where their weaknesses will be. And this is the same thing with your lawn. It's not just the grass seed. It's the lawn itself and the environment it's in. Some places get more sun. Some places get more shade. Some places have more competition with other things. By the way, shade doesn't just come from trees. It comes from your house. Maybe the watering wasn't consistent in some areas. Maybe the soil is draining one way or another. There are just a lot of different things that come up that can make different areas of the lawn develop differently, and you will learn what those strengths are over time so you can work with them. And what I would say is if you have areas, for the most part, if you have areas that didn't germinate, it's because those areas didn't get enough water compared to other areas that you were using or that did germinate. Now, I'm going to encourage you to go to my lawncarenut.com site, thelawncarenut.com. Go there, and we've got blog posts up. I've been kind of going through this and writing it and personifying it in a way that what grass seed does is it kind of has a little bit of a savings account with the lawn or with the watering. And I went through this in that blog post, and I think you'd get a kick out of it if you read it. But the long and the short of it is when you start working with grass seed, it doesn't believe you the first couple times you water it, because I know what you guys do the first time you water is you water really, really hard. You water good. You get out even with a hand watering device while your sprinkler's going and you hand water on top. That's what you do. You got peat moss all over you. You're dirty. You're trying. Maybe you have a beer in your hand and you're out there on top of that new, all this peat moss is out there, right? And you're watering. You want every inch of that peat moss to get soaked. And maybe you do that for a couple days in a row, and then you run out of cigars or whatever, or you got to stay late at work, and that cut tapers off. And from there, you're just going with your sprinkler. Somebody kicks your sprinkler walking home from, you know, the bus stop on an afternoon and moves it, and you don't realize it, and you don't check, you don't go back. And what happens is now your watering isn't as good as you thought it was, and for a week, you don't realize that. Well, see, the grass knows that. It knows that it has like this timer in it of water, like this moisture timer. And just because you gave it a lot of moisture on day one, it doesn't believe you. It's like, that's okay. All right, well, I'm going to wait. I'm going to see if this is too good to be true. I mean, are you going to be the perfect watering companion for me here or not? Are you just going to, you know, put a lot of energy into me in the beginning and then forget about me like every other person I've ever worked with? Well, I'm really personifying it now, but that's how it kind of went through in the blog post. But it doesn't believe you at first. It takes several days of good water or a good rain, because somehow the grass seed knows what the rain is. It knows the rain, and I'll tell you about how wonderful the rain is in a minute, but it doesn't believe you at first, so it's not going to grow. And that's probably what those areas were that didn't grow versus the ones that did. They're the areas that the grass seed didn't believe you. Now, it doesn't mean that it's dead. It just means it needs more water now. So that those areas are telling you, hey, man, get back to that. Get back out here and give me a little bit more attention like you did in the beginning. Give me some hand watering on these areas and help me get soaked. Now, the one thing, though, that we don't want to do is throw more seed in there, because inevitably the seed that's there is going to come up, and if you throw more down, it's going to come up on top of that, yet albeit a couple, 2-3 weeks later, and that's going to cause overcrowding later, and you're going to see that die back in the spring. So, you know, you got to live with it. You got to trust the process. You got to have the faith that you need to go back to paying it attention, and it's going to reward you, and it's going to come up. Now, the one thing that's going to happen is, though, Mother Nature's got your back every time. Now, this year across a lot of the country, I know a lot of you guys are struggling. You're like, man, what is it? Kansas City, is it hot and dry? I don't know. I can't even keep up with all the different cities now that are so hot and dry, because it just seems like it's across most of the Midwest, even into the Ohio Valley. And so, you know, a lot of people are struggling. I promise you, you're going to get 2 or 3 days of rain, and then what's going to happen is all of your seed's going to come up. It's got all the bank that you gave it. Here's the thing. All of those deposits of rain or your watering that you made into that seed are not forgotten. It doesn't believe you, but it knows. It's got that seed bank. It's got that savings account there. It's got those memories of that water, and it's appreciative. So when the rain comes, it will blow out of that ground fast. It will reward you. Okay, rather than somebody that didn't water at all and the seed got completely baked out and dried out, which can happen. So if you did some watering, get back to it now. Get back to it hard. Get back to it, pay as much attention, and then let that Mother Nature come in and get your back. You're going to get cloud cover. You're going to get that 2 days of rain, or you're going to get that one day. There's going to be that one day where you wake up and it's like raining at like 8 a.m., right? And the sky's all gray and you're going to be like, oh, this is terrible. Leaves will start falling off the trees, but that's exactly when that all-day rain. That's a good rain, too. It's a deep rain. It's not a rain that causes a ton of runoff. It's just like that all-day kind of dank rain. You're gonna need that. And then all of a sudden, bam, all of your seed's going to come up. You have to trust me on that. You guys send me emails, tweet me, show me. It's crazy. It's a magical thing, but it works. But your job is to do all the right things you can do now. Your job is to control the controllables. Your job is to work as hard as you can on that investment that you made. And the number one thing you can do is hope for the best. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and sign it off here. I hope you guys have enjoyed this podcast. Thanks for joining me. I'm Alan Hayne, the Lawn Care Nut. Thanks for listening. Hope this has been helpful to you. Hope you have a great week, and I'll see you in the lawn.